به الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وعلى الخلفاء الراشدين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، all praises are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we thank Him, we glorify Him, we seek His help and aid, and we ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to protect us. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our own selves and from the sins that we commit. Indeed, whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide. And whoever He causes to go astray, there is none who can guide. I testify that there is none deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. Verily, the best of speech is the book of Allah. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a misguidance. And every misguidance will be in the fire of hell. وَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah protect all of us from the fire of hell. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we are on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. Today is the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, and it is the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq. And Alhamdulillah, the Hujjaj have just finished performing this great worship of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, they have finished performing the Hajj that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This great worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much that He has made it an obligation upon every Muslim who can afford it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much that He has made it a pillar of Islam. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a pillar of Islam only tells us that it has numerous lessons and benefits for us. And if it is so much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that it has incredible lessons for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be aware of, and Allah wants us to heed all these lessons. And whether you are a person who had already made Hajj, or you plan to make Hajj in the future inshallah, or you had tuned in and were observing the Hajj this year, all of us, we need to contemplate and reflect on the lessons of Hajj, the benefits of Hajj. We all need to reflect and contemplate why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this act of worship so much, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so many lessons from Hajj. And the benefits of Hajj start even before one has boarded that plane, or even before the days of Dhul Hijjah began. that one need to contemplate and reflect the lessons of Hajj. Well, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to learn from it? When I go there, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to take away from it? And like we do in Salah, and like we do in Ramadan, or any of the acts of worship or the pillars of Islam, we need to prepare for it. And you cannot take advantage of it if you're not ready for it. And Hajj, subhanallah, Hajj, my dear brothers and sisters, Hajj is unique. Hajj is unique. It is unique in a sense, it is the only worship that entails traveling. Hajj is unique. It is the only pillar of Islam that involves traveling. Hajj is unique. It is the only pillar of Islam that involves body and wealth. You have to physically be there. You have to involve your body and also your wealth. You have to spend in the sake of Allah to get there. So Hajj is unique. It's unique in the fact that it combines worship of both body and wealth. And no other pillar of Islam involves that. And alhamdulillah, there are numerous benefits and lessons from Hajj. Inshallah, in this khutbah, I would just like to touch on three of the lessons of Hajj. One, about equality. Two, about our journey to the hereafter. And three, about taqwa. Inshallah, we will touch on these three lessons of Hajj that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. There are numerous lessons, but these three I'll touch on, inshallah. And one of the things that we saw in Hajj immediately after we get there, after the Hujjaj get there, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strips you from your adornment, from your luxurious clothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strips you from your name brand clothes, from your adornment and your decorations, and you have to dress simple. You have to dress alike. All the hujjaj dress alike. The ihram, the two pieces, the top and the bottom, two cloths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strips you from all your adornment, all your decorations. You can't wear it in Hajj. Allah take it away and you have to dress simple. Even if you're a king, even if you're a wazir, even if you're whatever, you have to dress simple. This is one of the lessons, but this, we will come to it, inshallah. So all our expensive clothes, adornment, all these frivolous things of the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you, no, put it aside, wear your simple garment. So we all dress modestly, and we all dress alike, and we all engage in a similar ibadah, similar type of worship alike. And even if you are on our luxurious Hajj, first class Hajj, you paid the biggest bucks to get there. Compare with someone who had to save and scrape all his money to get there. When you get there, you and that person who's on a luxurious Hajj, all dress alike. All worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alike, side by side, doing the same thing, moving alike, worshiping alike, the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson there. So when you look at the Hujjaj, all the Hujjaj, they look alike, they move alike, they worship alike. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson that when it comes to our basic humanity, as humans, flesh and bone, blood, all of us are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us are equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, equality. Equality, regardless of your race, regardless of your color, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your tongue, your language, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dress you alike. So there is no discrimination. Everyone wears the ihram. And my brothers and my sisters, this will be the picture also on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everybody will be standing resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The difference is we'll be uncircumcised on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And there are no distinction between us except one. That when everyone is standing there worshipping Allah in the Hajj, there is no distinction between anyone except one. And that distinction is not, by the way, one that is apparent. You have the outward signs, but you can't see it. And that distinction is taqwa. Taqwa. Consciousness of Allah. Fear of Allah. Taqwa. The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized. Equality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized where? Of all places at Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us when he gave the khutbah at Hajj, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rabbakum wahid wa abakum wahid, that verily your Lord is one and your father is one, Adam alayhi salam. La fadla ala arabiyin ala a'jami, that there is no superiority. An Arab is not superior to a non-Arab. There is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. Wala fadla wala ahmar ala aswad wala aswad ala ahmar illa bittaqwa. And a person of a particular color, particular race, or lineage, or ethnicity is not superior to another, is not superior over another of a different color, different ethnicity, and a different background, different language. No. The only distinction is taqwa. So that's the equality that Islam teaches us. And it's the absolute truth in Islam. You find it in the Quran, you find it in the Sunnah, and this should be our practice. Once in an authentic hadith, it is said, "Intasaba rajulani ala ahdi Musa," that during the time of Musa alayhi salam, two people, they were tracing their lineage. And one of them said, "Ana fulanun ibn fulanin ibn fulanin wa'ad." He said, "I am the son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so." And he continues boasting about his lineage. "Faman anta," so he addressed the other person. "So who are you?" Talking down to him. That who are you? I am better than you. Who are you? What's your lineage? Trying to put the other person down in a harsh way. And the other person said, "Ana fulanun ibn fulanin ibn al-Islam." He said, that's far as he went. He said, "I'm the son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of Islam." And this was during the time of Musa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa. He says, "Qul lil awwal," say to the first one, "Alladhi 'adda tis'ata aba'in fin nar," that the one who counted 9 of his ancestors in the fire. Where are they? In the hellfire. "Fa'anta 'ashiruhum," and you are their tent. In where? In the hellfire. "وَقُلْ لِلَّذِي يَنْتَصَبَ وَعَدَّ إِثْنَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ," and say to the other one who counted 2 of his ancestors there in Jannah. "فَأَنْتَ ثَالِثُهُمَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ," and you are the third among them. Where? In Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something similar to this in a hadith, that either you stop boasting about those who are in Jahannam,
or you will follow them. That either you stop boasting about your ancestors, about such and such grandparents and forefathers who are in Jahannam, or you will follow them. So we understand this lesson. We should understand this lesson of equality, at least in theory. But subhanAllah, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, we still find Muslims are still trapped with our human-made tribe of nationalism. We are still trapped in this human-made tribe of nationalism. Nationalism was and still is a tribe that puts one believer against another believer. It's a modern-day idolatry. That's what nationalism is. That I am better than you. I'm from Guyana, I'm better than you. You're from Trinidad. Or I'm from Trinidad, I'm better than you. Or I'm from India, I'm better than you because you're from Pakistan. Or I'm better than you because you're from Bangladesh. That's nationalism. Nationalism puts one believer against another believer. So when you think and you look around Muslims today globally, Muslims hate another Muslims, hate another Muslim because he doesn't belong to their country. Avoid another Muslim because he doesn't belong to his country. Fight another Muslim because of that. Looks down upon him, humiliate him because of that, because he is from a different country. Even within the same country, we find that some Muslim look down upon another Muslim because he's from a different region. If I'm from Delhi, I'm better than you because you're from a different region. I speak a different language. I have a different accent. I'm better than you. That's nationalism. And that is a mental trap. And that is a designation of shaitan. And that, my brothers and my sisters, that's jahiliyyah. And if you live like that, you're still living in jahiliyyah. And what's jahiliyyah? Pre-Islam. Ignorance before Islam. So if you're living in like that, you're living in jahiliyyah. And if you die like that, then you die in jahiliyyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no tribal identification except Islam. That there is no identity that matters except Islam. And we hear this, but we ignore it. Because once we leave the masjid, and once Hajj is over, everyone goes back to their old ways. In Hajj, we don't see any tribal differences. In Hajj, we don't see any inequality. Everyone is equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, equality. So he didn't tell us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell you that because someone has the same color and someone is from the same country as you and someone speaks the same language that he is your brother and the other person is not your brother. He didn't tell you that because someone belongs to the same tribe as you, belong to the same family as you, and he is your brother and the other person is not your brother. That's not the equality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. And that's not the equality that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advocated. So everyone is equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only criteria that differentiate us is taqwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave each Muslim a badge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim," that the Muslim is a brother to another Muslim, meaning both of you have the same identification card, and what it says on it, Muslim. That's all. It didn't say Bangladeshi Muslim. It didn't say Pakistani Muslim. All it says, you have the identification card. I have the same ID card. It says Muslim. That's our identification card. So it must say Muslim on it, and you have the same ID. La yadhlimuhu wa la yakhdhuluhu wa la yahkiru, that you do not oppress him, that you do not harm your brother, you do not put him down, you do not humiliate him, you do not give him up, you do not abandon him, because he is your brother and she is your sister. And that, my brothers and my sisters, is one of the powerful lessons of Hajj that we need to learn. The lesson of equality, that we treat each other as a Muslim. So we all need to reflect and contemplate how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away all our expensive clothing, all our expensive adornment, our expensive decorations, and our expensive things we have, and we are standing before Him wearing the simplest of clothing. He took away all our wealth and He put us in the simplest of clothing next to the poorest Muslim that you don't even know. We're all equal in the sight of Allah. And you worship next to the poorest Muslim. What is it that Allah is teaching me and you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us equality. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. My dear Muslims, we said that one of the things that distinguish Hajj is that it's a journey. It entails traveling. And we take trips and we take journey all the time. Small trips, large trips, long trips. We go distance, we make journeys all the time. And when Hajj comes, it symbolizes that journey, that's our life. When Hajj comes, it symbolizes the journey of our life. And Hajj becomes like that signal, that wake-up call, that alarm clock, that light that goes on, that signal that reminds you that you're on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you forgot about it. So Hajj comes to remind you that you're on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you forgot about it. So Allah is reminding you through Hajj, because you're a traveler and you forgot about it. And now Hajj comes to remind you. Remember your journey to Allah through your journey to Hajj. Remember, as you are getting ready, packing your bags, getting all your documents ready, bidding farewell to your loved ones, say goodbyes, ask everyone to forgive you because you're going to Hajj. You're getting ready, your passport and your flight and everything, and you're packing your bags saying goodbye. The only difference between this journey to Hajj and the ultimate journey is that there is no chance to say goodbyes. There is no chance to prepare to go. There is no chance to say goodbye to your loved ones and do your last rites, because when death comes, that's it. That's when death comes, you don't get to say that goodbye. So only the difference is that in Hajj, when you travel to Hajj, and that ultimate travel is that you decide when you want to go and you get prepared for it. You get to put your ticket together. You get to pack your bags together. You get to say goodbye to your family. But when death comes, when you go into that journey and death comes, that's it. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is taking you on the journey to Hajj and you leave your hometown, He says, leave your country. Leave your family behind. Leave your dunya. Leave the dunya behind. Leave your wealth. Leave your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that you will leave all of this sooner or later. That you will leave all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you that get to experience what it feels like. Get to experience what it's like to leave your loved ones. To leave all the luxurious cars and houses and luxurious clothes that you have. Leave all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you that experience. See what it feels like to leave everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So get to feel what it feels like to leave things for Allah. Feel what it's like to experience what it's like to leave your wealth that you work so hard and toil every day, spending hours upon hours to grab the dunya. Feel what it's like to leave all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. That's the second lesson. To abandon your wealth and the provisions of this dunya, to abandon the riches of this dunya, to simply stand next to a simple Muslim, to worship Allah at the Hajj. Feel what it's like and experience what it feels like to stand with multitudes, millions upon millions of Muslims, all saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. That here I am, Ya Allah, here I am. I'm answering your call. So this is the picture of Yawmul Qiyamah as well. When you will be resurrected, the plain of Arafah is a similitude, similar to Yawmul Qiyamah. When you will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through Hajj to remind you that you're on a journey. You're on a journey to Allah. Don't forget about that. So all the Hujjaj, when they're at Hajj, all they care about, even someone who goes to Hajj for commerce, for whatever reason, for sightseeing, for business, whatever, their ultimate reason is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us: Al Hajj al Mabrur, laysa lahu jaza illa al Jannah. That the Hajj that is Mabrur, the Hajj that is upon piety, the Hajj that has bir, righteousness, that there is no reward for it except paradise, and that's what all the Hujjaj wants. Emancipation from the hellfire and to book your spot in Jannah. And then the angel that a person who performs Hajj and is accepted from them, the angel of Allah will put their hand on them and will say, Istaqbal ma shi'ta min al-amal faqad ghufira ma ta'akhkhar. That do continue work because what has happened before is all forgiven. So this is an assurance, a declaration from an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you go to Hajj the way that Allah wants it, with akhlaq, with bir, with taqwa, with taqwa and sincerity and doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah, you're returning with none of your sins. You're returning with none of your sins. That's what Allah azza wa jal wants from the one who is going to Hajj. It's not just an obligation because you have to do it once in a lifetime just to get it over with and done with it. No, your hereafter is at stake. So you want to make sure that you prepare for it. That when you come back like someone sinless, no sins. So my brothers and my sisters, this journey is that ultimate journey that you're taking and all of us are taking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us through Hajj that if you forgot about your journey to me, think about it when you're going to Hajj. You're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing I want to touch on is the lesson of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is talking about Hajj in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. وَتَزَوَّدُوا,
seek provisions on that trip.
Seek provisions, take provisions, and indeed the best of provision, the best of support is taqwa. So there are a couple of lessons here. One of them is that the reason why this verse was revealed is that some people of Yemen, when they used to go to make Hajj, they didn't used to take water and provisions or anything. They used to say, we put our trust in Allah. Tawakkul Allah. Allah will provide. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Muslims orally that tawakkul Allah means that you put your trust in Allah, but you have to make an effort as well. So Allah is teaching the Muslims that don't put your, say you put your trust in Allah and not take your provisions. Take your provisions. Take your provisions. Allah revealed this early to the Muslims, saying that type of thinking is wrong. That I didn't create the dunya this way. That if you want anyone to provide for you, the best people to provide for you after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given you, is you. So you have to provide, you have to take care of things. What does zawadu? Take food. Don't depend on others. You take your water and you take your provisions. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, orally teaching us about tawakkul. And there's another lesson, that the best provision that you can take on any journey or any trip or anything you plan for, any project you're planning for, the best provision you can take on that is taqwa. That you could take whatever you want from the dunya, whatever, but taqwa, that's the best provision. That any actual trip or any actual journey you're going on, get ready for it, plan for it, but take taqwa with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to add one important ingredient, and that is taqwa. So what is provision? Something that provides, something that sustains, and something that supports. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you want my support? You want my sustenance? Well, accompany taqwa with you. Take taqwa with you. That's your best companion. That's your best companion in any journey, any trip. And of course, that's your best companion to your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your best companion, taqwa. Taqwa will help you in your grave. And taqwa will be your companion when you're resurrected. And taqwa will take you to Jannah. So that's your best companion. The thing that will stay with you is your taqwa. So my brothers and my sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, to bless us. To bless us in these months of Hajj. Ya Allah, if we are of those who perform Hajj, accept it from us. And grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, if we are those who are planning to make that journey next year, bi-idhnillah, with your permission, make us of those who are ready for it. Get us ready, Ya Allah, by increasing our iman, by increasing our taqwa. If we are the people who are staying behind, Ya Allah, make us of those who take advantage of those days and are forgiven in those days. Ya Rabbal Alameen, make us of those who learn the lessons of Hajj during and after Hajj. Ya Allah, fix the troubles of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And take them back to your religion. And take them back to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And make them brothers and sisters for your sake. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we ask you, Ya Allah, to forgive all our sins. Forgive all our sins that we have committed openly and secretly. Ya Allah, you know our sins that we commit. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma aslih ahwal al-muslimin fi Filistin. Allahumma aslih ahwal al-muslimin fi kulli makan. Ya thal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma makir lahum wa kaffir
وَكْفِ بِهِمْ بِمَا شَئْتَ إِنْ تَنْصُرْهُمْ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَهُمْ وَإِنْ تَخْذُلْهُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرْهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا حي يا قيوم وبرحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقيموا الصلاة.